is awesome. Awesome. Well, how many of you are excited about Thanksgiving that's coming up? Amen and amen. Brother Joe's favorite holiday, love Thanksgiving. And this is really the Sunday before our national Thanksgiving that is celebrated this coming Thursday. We're planning for that. We just had our church Thanksgiving last Sunday in our Joe's Chest. We had a great time. And now you're going to have your family Thanksgiving celebrations as our nation celebrates this Thanksgiving holiday. It goes way back to the Pilgrims who invited the American Indians to that first Thanksgiving. And that was right after the winter, and they thank God for bringing them through the winter and giving them a successful harvest of crops. And that was in 1621 in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And as I have done countless times as a pastor here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, for this holiday season, I feel led to turn to Psalm 23. Would you turn there, Psalm 23, in your Bibles this morning? And this morning, I just want to share my own Thanksgiving testimony about my shepherd. I want to share with you my Thanksgiving testimony about my shepherd. Now, I'm thinking of Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And there's a statement made about the Lord Jesus Christ there that makes me appreciate him as my personal shepherd. And there it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd." What a sad thing that is to see people that don't have the shepherd that I have. It makes me sad for them. It makes me feel badly for them. And by the way, if you're here this morning, I was a stinky sheep. You say, what are you talking about? You ever smelled sheep? They stink. Now, right now, I try not to be stinky. I have underarm deodorant on. I spray all the time. Don't like bad breath. Don't like body odor. Yeah, but when I was a teenager, you know, you start stinking. You get stinky. And it's not good. And so, you know, I was a sheep without a shepherd as a teenager, and I was really in trouble, and I did not realize it. And if you're that way, I love you, I feel for you, and if I say I'm praying for you, it's simply that. I want you to find what I found, a shepherd that I found when I was 17 years old. Changed my life. And, you know, this is the holiday season. It starts with Thanksgiving and it goes into Christmas. And we sing that song, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." You know that one. And we think about it and all of that. But, you know, it's also, for some people, the most stressful time of the year. The most difficult time of the year. I was up in the mall just Friday. And while I was in the mall, I was talking to a couple that used to go to our church. Well, a guy was a deacon in our church. They were very much involved during the late 70s and 80s, Joe and Audrey Vasquez. And they'll probably be coming out and visit us on an evening service, and I'll have her hopefully sing. But while I was in there, some guy is fighting a guy. He puts his dukes up, you know. Like, he's going to fight this guy. Buffalo Wild Wings, and it was wild. And so the fight starts. I think it started in the mall, then it goes outside, and started in Wild Wings, goes outside. It's on the, and the one guy's egging the other guy on, and it's getting worse and worse. And finally, the one guy, he gets in his car to run the other guy down. And this was this past Friday. He gunned it, but the guy, like, Olay. And the car goes by and smashes right through Buffalo Wild Wings' door. Now, I was inside the mall not watching the whole thing. And a guy comes up to me and said, "You better pray more for this place." "We need more prayer for this place." And so I walked out there, and the security guard that I know, the mall cop that I know, you know, was out there, and I told him I need to pray more for this place. And all these cops were out there, and the cop car was there, and it was a mess. And all I could think of, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And last week I preached on here at our church Thanksgiving a message I preach over and over again. It's about Martha and Mary. And remember, Martha was cumbered by much serving. And what happened was she did not have her eyes on the Lord. She was not listening to the Lord. And even though she was a believer, she wasn't benefiting from her relationship to the Lord like her sister was. And that's one of the reasons why I want to preach on this today. I believe I'm led of God to do it. And I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving for my personal shepherd. Thanksgiving for my shepherd. And I want to read to you Psalm 23 in verse 1. And you follow. It says there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, don't get me wrong, because the Lord is my shepherd, that doesn't mean everything goes smooth in my life. I went to pick up my mom. My wife and I went to pick up my mom, and we went down to Philly. She flew from Grand Rapids to Philly, and we're driving down there to pick her up, and I had my wife's car, which is the good car, and should have brought my car, the bad car, but I brought my wife's car, the good car, and all of a sudden, the lights are going off and on. Man, I'm trying to fight with the lights, and one thing after the other is happening, and it's just like the devil is trying to mess us up. My wife finally said to me, she saw I was getting like, she said, "We got to pray. The devil's trying to bother us here." And she was right, and we did pray, and God helped us get through that, and the lights got working, and all of that. Then, you know, I had a problem with my car turning off with the key, turning the key off. And I couldn't turn it off, and it would be, you know, the radio playing, running the battery down. So I had to pop up the hood, take off the battery every time I stopped, the battery cord, so it wouldn't run down, and put it back on and shut the... And Diane Payone heard about it. She said, "I'll have my husband look at that." And John said, "Well, you can get a new ignition. It's only $20. You can buy the ignition. And you can get that, and you can get a key for yourself and a key for your wife." And so, sure enough, I got it. And we, you know, had the key. And so, I was out fundraising the other day, raised money for the school, and had the money, and I said, "I got to lock my car up, you know." And I locked it up. And I had told my wife, "Honey, you can throw away your old key. We got a new one. Here's the new one. I'll throw mine away. Got a new one." But you're a little ahead of me, some of you. I went out after shopping and praying and soul winning, doing God's work, and I go to get the key to open the door to leave, and the key only works in the ignition. Wow. So my wife had to pick me up, and we left the car there. And your husband can get a job breaking in cars. That guy... That guy Saturday, he drove me up there and he broke in that car, Bobby. He had all this equipment where you, I'm not going to tell you how he did it, but the guy could be rich. And so we got in there and I got to get my car. But listen, there are going to be problems in your life. And sometime they're more... I'll use a really $25 word. They're more exacerbated during the holiday time, and you feel the stress more during the holiday time. And, you know, problems and pressures can either press on you to press you closer to Jesus Christ if you know Him as your shepherd, or they can get between you and Him and press you away from Him. What are they doing in your life? What are they doing in your life? And do you even have the Lord as your shepherd? Because I remember when I didn't even have him as my shepherd, and I was full of problems in my life. And it's interesting that, guys, sit up back there. Sit up. Right now, sit up. Thank you. It's interesting. You're not here to sleep. Hey, you're not here to sleep. You go home and sleep. It's interesting that the shepherd, it's a great thing to have a shepherd. But if you don't have a shepherd for your life, you are just a dumb sheep. And that's what I was, a dumb sheep. I had one of my kids, he had his first job downtown Scranton, and they used to call him dumb kid. He had a job, they called him dumb kid. Why was that? Well, he was just a young teen. He just had his first job. You know, as a teenager, you learn to drive and all that. And you're just a sheep. And, you know, sheep are defenseless animals. They are very defenseless animals. And it is a shepherd that you need to take care of you. And so that's why this psalm is all about verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means if you have the Lord as your shepherd, you don't have to worry that you're going to lack anything in this life. What does it say in Jeremiah? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the strong man glory in his strength. The one thing you can brag about is I have a great shepherd. He takes care of me. And I can say that my life, ever since I've had the shepherd, I have never lacked anything that I need. And he's always there. He's there when I need him. You know, he's always there. And when the Israelites went out in the wilderness, you know, God was there. And Moses said, "What is your name?" He said, "I am. My name is I am." In other words, when you go out in the wilderness, you don't have any water. I am what you need, and I'll give you what you need. When you go out in the wilderness, you don't have any food. I am what you need for food. I am. That's his name. Jesus called himself I am. They understood what he meant. They took up stones to stone him. But he is everything that you and I need. And I want to just give thanksgiving to my shepherd for that wonderful thing that he is to me. Now, some of you don't have a shepherd. And I remember a guy in my church. He was not a born-again Christian. He was coming to our church, and we had reached out to his kids. And this guy, he finally did get saved. And I said to this guy, you know, this is the holiday time. It's a great time of the year at our church. He said, "Pastor, you know what holiday was to me?" He said, "From Thanksgiving through Christmas, right until New Year's Day, all I was drunk. I drank alcohol and stayed drunk all the way through the holiday time." I'm so glad I don't have to get drunk and kill somebody else on the highway. I don't have to get drunk because I don't drink alcoholic beverages. They're not adult beverages. They're not beverages for anybody, kids or adults. They kill people. They destroy marriages and homes and families. And I'm just saying to you, thank God that the Lord makes it so you don't need to get drunk and have alcohol. You can have a wonderful life. And if you don't have a shepherd, guess what? Jesus has compassion on people just like you. He sees you. He sees you as a dumb sheep, a dumb kid, or a dumb human adult. He sees you. And he is the shepherd that is exactly what we need. Now, some of you need Psalm 22 today. You know what Psalm 22 is all about? It's about a shepherd being crucified. Yeah. Yeah, that was hundreds of years before, about 1,500 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Psalm 22 talks about him hanging on a cross so that he could pay for your sins. And that's what you need to do. You need to accept him as the good shepherd that gave his life to keep you out of hell. That's what happened to me at 17. I didn't know him like I'm talking about now. I hadn't walked with him. I didn't know him, but I knew I was going to die and go to hell, and I didn't want to die and go to hell. And then I was told how when he died on the cross, he opened the door to let me into heaven. Thank God for that. And I accepted him as my Savior, Psalm 22. And some Christians, you know that. You're here today and you say, yeah, Pastor, I understand that. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. If you did, you ought to come forward and get baptized. Put on the uniform. Amen? But I did that. You can say I did that. And then Psalm 24, some of you have the shepherd of Psalm 24. You said, who's that shepherd? That's the shepherd that's going to come back again to the earth. You know Jesus is coming back. It may be in your lifetime. He's coming back. Yeah, and he's going to reign from Jerusalem, and he's going to kick things. I was almost said something, but I'm not. Glad I didn't say that. But he's going to clean things up, and he's coming back, my friends, and he's going to reign. And some of you are looking forward to Jesus coming back. And here's the problem with many born-again believers. You're looking back to when you got saved and you say, thank God I'm going to heaven. And you're looking forward to when he comes back and gets you out of here and we reign with him. But right now, some of you are as miserable as people in the world. And you're just discontented and you're discouraged and you are not satisfied. Psalm 23 is for you. My testimony is, yeah, I got saved back when I was 17. Yes, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back, and I know I'm going to reign with him. But I can tell you right now, he is all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. You heard me say this many times. The little girl said, I know Psalm 23. I can recite it. And she stood up to recite it, and she goes, she's just a little girl, she goes, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. And she sat down. That was the song. But that is so true. The Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything I could ever want or need. And that is the secret to Christian contentment. And so I want to give thanks for my shepherd and encourage you, if you don't have him, to receive him as your shepherd. And if you do have him, that you would keep your eyes on him, because that's what will make you content. And I want to say, I give thanks for my shepherd. First of all, I give thanks for his rest. Look at verse 2, and I'll quote it. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice that he says there, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, the sheep would get tired on their long journey, and the shepherd knew they were going to have a long way to go before they got home. And so he said, they're going to need to relax. They're going to need to rest. And so he would make them to lie down in green pastures. I remember one time this guy's wife came up to me and said, you're working my husband to death. She didn't put it in those words. But she's saying, he does not have a break. I said, join the crowd. No, I didn't say that. I tell that joke. Mary had a little lamb. It grew up to be a sheep. It joined Scranton Revival Baptist Church, got on staff, and died for lack of sleep, you know. And so she said, let's help him get a day off, a day of rest, a Sabbath. And so we figured out a day, and he has that day. he's still here, so it must have worked. It must have worked. And you know, the Lord gives us that rest that we need when we need it. Anna Zukowski wanted a day off of last Monday, day after that big campaign. And so I thought about that, and I said, you know what? Anna's got a wise request there. We've got people that are dying of overwork. You know, when you play football, you watch football, Brother Steve? You ever watch that? You watch Notre Dame pound Syracuse? Sorry, Patty. And you got 50 to 60,000 people that need more exercise. Watching 22 people that are over-exercised. And that's the way it is in the church. You got some people that are working so hard and other people that need to work. So I thought about what Anna said, and all these people, the ladies that had been working so hard to cook and all the work they did, and I said, they need a rest. They need a break. We're going to give them a break. And so I declared a Scranton Revival Baptist holiday on Monday, and we didn't have any. You know what? The shepherd knows when you need to rest. And by the way, the shepherd knows how to give you rest for your soul if your body is even working, and you can have rest on the inside. That's called peace, the peace of God. Peace of God. There can be a storm around you, but you can have peace. Jesus went to sleep with the storm around him. And they said, don't you care that we perish? And he said, where is your faith? When you have faith in God, you're able to rest. And you can last a long time that way in the journey that the Lord has you on. I give thanks for rest I have in the Lord. I give thanks for his refreshments. Look what it says in verse 2. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, you can live without food for longer than some of you think. I've been without food for 21 days sometimes. I know somebody just recently had a fast for 21 days. They just drank water. They didn't eat any food. I know Jesus, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, had no food. I know of a pastor that fasted for 40 days, and he went a little loopy, but he didn't have food. Some of you, you never experienced anything like that. But I want to tell you, you can only last without water for about 3 days, and you need to drink. And the shepherd knew how to make sure those scared sheep who can't swim, because if they go into water, their fur, their wool gets all wet like a sponge and they sink. And so he has to dam up the stream to make it calm so they are not afraid to take a drink. And you know what? The Lord, Jesus Christ, knows how to refresh you. And water's just a picture of that. It's your spirit. You have within you a dry spirit. And the only thing that can refresh you is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he dams up that stream. So if you have one of these, that can keep you from getting refreshed. So you just press on it really hard, like that. And then it'll hit off, and you hit off in it. And you put it up, and then just put it away during church. These cell phones keep people from being refreshed. Now, they can do good things. Don't get me wrong. I love the cell phone. I use the cell phone. But not in church. Not when you're with your wife on a date. And every so often you're checking it. She's saying, who's texting you now? Put that thing down. You know, people have these great big eyes. Teenagers today have these great big eyes and these little pea brains. You know why that is? AI. ChatGPT. Now, They're using all of that AI to do all of their thinking for them.
Right.
And they're ruining their brains, because your brain is like a muscle. It needs exercise.
Right.
And I'm just saying to you, the Lord wants to refresh you. But you have to get something with him. I am so thankful. I have a shepherd who leads me and guides me. I would have never preached this message today if it were up to me. I would have never preached this sermon. You know why? Because I preached it so many times. I have other sermons. I've studied it. But the Lord tells me what to do. If I'm listening. If I've got that cell phone off. If I'm walking and praying when I need to be praying, if I'm walking with God when I need to be walking with God, and I give thanks that I have rest through my shepherd, I have refreshment through my shepherd, and then verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. I am so happy I have what's called restoration through my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. And what does that mean? Well, I had a battery charger and it wasn't working, a cord. And my secretary told me, why don't you go up to Home Depot or Best Buy and get a good charging cord. Not going to cost you that much. It'll recharge your battery on your cell phone. And I went up there and I bought one. It was pretty cheap. And that thing just charges that phone like that when I need it. You know what? That's the problem with a lot of people. They are just like a worn out battery. And they're not getting recharged. But the Lord, he restores you. He restores your personality, and he has what you need so that your personality can have soul. You ever heard somebody say, you got soul, baby, you got soul? Some people, they've lost their soul. They're just so depressed and discouraged and tired and worn out. The Bible says, though our outward man perishes, our inward man is what? Recharged, renewed day by day. I have a cell phone, but I recharged it last night. It's ready to go for today. And the Lord will do that in your life. He'll keep recharging you. He'll keep restoring you. And your body may get old, but hey, your spirit will stay young. Amen? You know, they say every old person, there's a young person in there wondering what happened. What happened to me? But the good news is that though your body may be getting old, thank God that he is renewing and restoring that spirit. And I give thanks for that. I give thanks for the next thing in verse 3. It says there that he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know what? I thank God that he led me to make the right decision on who to get married to. If I would have made the wrong decision, I would be, you know, it's better that you're single wishing you were married than married and wishing you were single. I am so glad, and I can say that, I am so glad I have that beautiful woman right back there sitting with the teenagers to help you guys, and you're so beneficial to have her with you. This lady right here is the queen, right here. First Lady, Scranton Revival Baptist Church, right there. And let me tell you, in every way, as she gets older, she gets better. And I'm just saying that he leads you to make the right decisions in your life. And you can know that Jesus will never steer you wrong. When you get in trouble, it's because you didn't consult with Jesus. And you need to consult with godly people like Mrs. Bloom and the pastor and the youth pastor and his wife and the deacons and their wives and so on and so forth. You need that. Because we've got a shepherd, we've got that. Some people, you know this is true, they mess up their lives, they make wrong decisions, they're not doing right, righteously, and they go out there and they say, I'm going to find a church that tells me to do it my way. And then they find out that I got to come right back here to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I got to come right back here. And I thank God for Becky. She went to our Christian school and she is tied in here and involved here. We're praying for her to get a house close to church. He leads me in paths of righteousness. I do not lack for righteousness, for right decisions. I do not lack for restoration. I do not lack for refreshment. I do not lack for rest. And then, let's go to P's. You know, let's do our P's now. We did our R's, let's do our P's. I can give thanks for his protection. Look at verse 4. He says, and I'll read it, you follow. In verse 4, he says there, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't have to be afraid of anything. Now, some people are afraid of their own shadow. Let me ask you a question. Can my shadow hurt you? No. No. My shadow can't hurt you. Your shadow can't hurt me. Now, death, can death hurt you? Yeah. Because death means that your soul leaves your body and goes down into the center of the earth where it's dark and hot and horrible. That's where we go after we die. If we don't have Jesus as our shepherd, I didn't want that. You don't have to have that today. If you accept the Prince of Life who died but rose from the dead and promises he'll give you eternal life, you don't have to have that. But if you don't have Jesus as your shepherd, death is not a shadow. Death can hurt you. It'll send you down, 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 and you can never get out of there. Daddy won't be there. Mommy won't be there. Friends won't be there. Thank God he saved me. Amen. From that, the sting of death. I heard there was a guy and he literally was allergic to bee sting, and if he got stung by a bee, it would puff up and die. And he had a daughter and she had the same allergy. And they were out in a car and this bee was getting ready to sting her, and he grabbed the bee to save her. And it stung him. And he puffed up and died. But his daughter lived to testify of his love for his daughter. I thank God that's the kind of shepherd I have. He took the sting of death. He took and was treated as though he was the greatest sinner that ever lived and was spit upon and mocked so he could give me eternal life. Do I deserve it? No. Do I deserve to be here preaching to you? No. Do you deserve it? No. But it's a gift that he's offering you. Why would you turn it down today? Why would you not accept Jesus and then say, I'm saved by the grace of God? I hope that you'll get the Lord as your shepherd, because then you will know that you will have his protection. And I am not afraid of death right now. I remember Charlie Kirk got shot. How many saw Charlie Kirk get shot? He got shot and that bullet hit him and it was bad. But it really wasn't bad for Charlie. He went right to heaven. And he's celebrating in heaven right now. Benji Rodriguez went home from church a couple weeks ago and had a heart attack and passed out of his body. It was tough for his family and is tough for his family. But not Benji. Not Benji. You see, we have protection. And it's a wonderful thing. And I went up there and I preached up there on Tunkhannock lawn. And there were standing there about between 300 and 400 people to do a vigil for Charlie Kirk. And the Garys were there and the Bajeski couple was there. And I preached and I said, now if you want to follow the message, take a knee for Jesus. And a number of people took a knee for the Lord. But my mother told me, you're not going to go out and preach outside, are you? Do you know what they could do? They're killing Christians. And I didn't say this, but I'm thinking it. If you think you can threaten me with heaven, you got another thing coming. You got another thing coming. I shall not want for protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because he's got a rod and he's got a staff and he can kill the predators, the devils that are all around us. And he says, I give thanks for protection. I give thanks for the next thing. Look at verse 5. It says there in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want for provision. You know, he says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, do you know what you really need? According to the Bible, you only need food on your table and clothes on your back. That's all you need. Everything else is extra. But now, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? He's so rich, he's so generous, he often gives you much more than you need. He gives you many blessings and wants, and that is his provisions that he gives to you as a shepherd. And sheep, they can't get the goodies in life. And so the shepherd will go and he'll see all these berries, and he won't pick the poison berries now. He'll pick the delicious berries and he'll pick them up, and then he'll put them in his hands and put them behind him where the sheep that are walking closest to him, get this, closest to him, can get them. You know how I live my life? From his hand to my mouth. I don't have to be rich. He's rich. My wife can tell you it's amazing how God has provided for this pastor and his family through the years. It's amazing. Some people just want to be rich. They say, I'm sick of poverty. I don't want poverty. I want to just get rich. You know what I want? I want God. Because I've learned to be abased and not have a lot. Just have my needs, maybe. And I've learned how to abound. You know, I got good clothes. Sharp clothes, right? Sharp clothes. When I was in college, they laughed at my clothes. They called me John the Baptist. And when I got married, my wife came up and she brought a big trunk, and it said, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and she had it full of clothes that she had stored up for me. What kind of woman does that? I'm just saying, if you've got a shepherd and you walk close to him, you're going to experience wonderful provisions from him. And all he wants you to do is say, thank you, Lord. We have Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for being my shepherd. And then he says in verse 5, also he said, thou anointest my head with oil. And you know what? I put oil on myself all the time. I'm always rubbing oil in there, you know. But he said, thou anointest my head with oil. And the reason why the sheep got oil poured on their head is because they would get sunburn in the hot sun. And I was over there in 2016. It's very hot. And the shepherd would put that oil on there, and that would give them strength again when they were fainting and ready to pass out. And you know what that talks about? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if you have Jesus as your shepherd, you'll never lack for his power. He will give you power of the Holy Spirit to speak up for him. I am always up to bat, right? You're always preaching, right? You know what that's like. You're always up to bat. But he never fails me to give me his power, because you need what he has for you. And if I make myself available to him, he gives me the power of the Holy Spirit to say the message that you need to hear. And you'll never lack for his power as you walk with him, your shepherd. And not only that, but notice the last part of verse 5, Psalm 23, he says, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. You know what? Sometimes when I was a kid, I used to get cups of drink that I liked. When I got married, my wife loves these giant cups. And now I love giant cups. I can't have a small teacup, a small hot chocolate cup, a small cold drink cup. They're all big. The ones I drink out of are all big. And you know what? I'm so glad that God doesn't just give you provisions. He pours it on so that it runs over. And you know what? I couldn't help but think of Thanksgiving. Boy, it was a blessing to have all that food. And it's just a reminder of how generous our shepherd is. That when you're walking with him, he just pours the blessings on in your life. And you can say, I do not lack for plenty. I have so many blessings from the Lord. And I think at Thanksgiving, it would be a good thing. Like we do this when we have people over sometime. I know we had the Garys over a while back. And it wasn't Thanksgiving per se. But my wife had under the, a lot of times she'll put under the plates a question, and you have to answer that question. Sometime on Thanksgiving, it has things to be thankful for. And each person has to say what they're thankful for. Count your many blessings this week. Name them one by one, and it will what? Surprise you what the Lord has done. See, his mercies are new every morning. The problem is we don't think to thank him for all the blessings that he's given us. And when you do, you will be so full of plenty that you will thank him for it. And then it says in verse 6 something that is a blessing. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many of you have ever had a bad day? Yeah, bad day. Evil day. But you know what? All sunshine makes desert. All things in your life, Romans 8:28, work together for good if you have the shepherd. He is in control of the bad that happens in your life, and he's going to use it for good in your life. And so because the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want for pursuit. You've got two friends that are following you. They have your back. They're watching over you. And they are goodness and mercy. And they are watching over your life from behind. And they have your back. I am so thankful. So many times the Lord has had my back. And he's protected me. And he does it for you too when you're walking with him. And then the final and the most blessed thing, he says in verse number 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a blessing that is, that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, that is the greatest thing to have. You know, home is a great thing. When I travel and go on vacation, sometimes I'm glad just to get home. You know, you're excited about going on vacation, but when it's all over, it's like, I want to go home. Home is a place where you can rest. Home is a place where you can have peace. Thank God that our final home is a place of peace, of rest, no sickness, no death, no separation anymore. Everybody will be available in mansions on the Golden Street. You know, Scranton, the streets are paved with potholes. Where our home is, the streets are paved with pure gold. Now, I'm just telling you, what does the world have? What do the richest people in the world have? They have nothing. They die and then go to hell. We die and go to heaven forever and ever and ever. I shall dwell in the house. Is it any wonder that we can say, and I can say today, I am thankful for the shepherd I have. Listen, if you do not have him, don't wait one second. You say, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and have him as your shepherd. But if you are saved, don't just be looking back to what he did for you. Don't be just looking forward for what he's going to do for you when he comes back. Right now, walk with him each day. Get in his word each day. Be in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. Not just to go to church, but to meet with Jesus. Sunday school. It's all good if Jesus is here. And he is here. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about being satisfied.